We started out week one on an overview of some of the promises that God's made. The Bible contains more than 7,000 promises. That's why it's such a unique book. You know, you compare like the Quran and all these other books, so-called religious books. There's no book that compares with the Bible. And the second week we studied the promise of grace, God's unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor. I'm so happy that I can go to a throne of grace. That's what the scripture says in Hebrews 4:16, that we can come boldly. Not shyly, but boldly. We can call out Jesus whenever we're in trouble. If you know when you can do that is when you have a relationship. Every now and then I get a call from different ones asking for help. And it's someone, like last night, I got a call, 10 o'clock, asking for help. And it's someone we haven't seen for months and months. And the last time I saw them was when they called for help. And the time before that, I hadn't seen them for months and months. And when I had seen them, it was when they had a call for help. So this time, I really didn't feel like I was in the middle of doing something. I was working on the Sunday school. It was late and it was starting to rain. And I really didn't feel, but you know what? I said, well, Lord, the Bible says every time someone asks, you should try. So I arranged to meet the person and to help them out. But I really had to say something this time. I said, it's a relationship that allows you to call on someone. I mean, you don't just walk into the middle of the street and say, here, I need $100. You don't go up to a street. You can only do that if you have a relation. If it's a family member or someone you have a close friend, then you can make a call. So I just had to tell the person, we haven't seen you in a long, long time. A long, long time. And I didn't really want to beat them up at that point, but I just said it would be nice to see you at other times. The good thing about God is he's so merciful. But the reason why some people don't get everything they want is because they haven't got a relationship. They only call on God when they're in a fire, when they're in trouble. Now, he's there for when you're in trouble. And you can call on him when you're in trouble. But it's nice to call on him when you don't really need anything. When you just want to say, God, I love you. Thank you. What a beautiful day. My car started today. I don't have to pray for it to start. And so I just had to tell this person, it's a relationship that makes you being able to call on someone easy. If you don't know the person, it's hard. So God has promised to supply grace, which is unmerited favor. And then today we're going to study the promise to supply needs. He has promised to supply our needs. Not our wants. A lot of times when I'm driving down 43, I see these cars pull up beside me and I see a Tesla. And that looks really sweet. Or a Audi A4 or a BMW 740. And I look at that car and I say, wow, wouldn't that be nice if I had one of those? But the truth is, I don't really need it. I might want it, but I don't need it. God has not promised to supply our wants, but he has promised that he will supply our needs. Now, the needs, sometimes we get mixed up with our wants. I want this, I want that. But we're going to go into that, and then we're going to do the promise of healing and then the promise of salvation. So today, we're going to be studying the promise to supply our needs. Philippians 4:14 says this. This is Paul. Philippians was written by Paul when he was in Rome, when he was a prisoner. When he was a prisoner, he was boasting that God would supply his needs. He says, but I have all. Now he's in prison. He's under house arrest. He's got two Roman centurions guarding him. And this is what he says, I have all and abound, meaning I don't need anything. I am full. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. So one of the churches, the Philippian church, sent some things for Paul, sent by Epaphroditus to Rome to provide some material things to Paul. And he says, listen, I have everything. You know, truly, there's some things money cannot buy. There's some things money cannot buy. One of them, of course, is love. And many times I've tried to get into the atmosphere when, I say to God, you know, really, God, there isn't really a lot of stuff I want. And my family have a hard time buying anything for me because really, I don't really need anything. I have what I need. I mean, how many suits can you wear at one time? Somebody several years ago gave me about 20 suits. Now they're not fitting me as well anymore because thank be to God I'm losing some weight. But what do I need? You can only be buried in one suit, can you? You can't take it all with you. And if we were to get into a spirit of thankfulness, really, do you have shelter? Do you have somewhere tonight to lay your head? Are you going to eat something after church? Amen. You know, that means a lot. Thank you, Jesus. I have somewhere to sleep tonight. I have some clothes to put on. And I'm certainly going to eat after church. Amen. So we're going to study what God has promised us as far as needs, not wants. Verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need. The church that sent him stuff, he was telling them, I already have everything, but God is going to supply all your needs. You know why? The Bible says it's better to give than to receive. Although last night I really didn't want to go out at 10 o'clock, get dressed and go out, the scriptures came to me. Right? The scriptures came to me and I responded, even though I was in my spirit, I didn't want. But my God shall supply. That's a promise. That's a promise. My God shall supply my needs. I can tell you this. God has never let me down in my life. Not once. In fact, he has filled in all the gaps. My shortcomings, he has papered them over. So you look at me and you think he's doing okay. It's just you don't know. It's God that has filled in all the cracks. I am so far from what I should be. But he's supplying that need too. Everything I'm short in, he has fixed. That's what we studied last time. He says, my power is made perfect in your weakness. It's where we fall short that God supplies the need. Amen. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So that's the theme today, that he has promised to supply our needs. So I'm going to look at those two words, supply and needs. And let's look at what they mean in the scripture. Well, in the Greek, the word for supply in the Greek is called plero. And it means to make full, to fill up, to fill to the full, to cause to abound. You ever eaten where you couldn't eat anymore? Too often. Too often. I'm learning now to listen to my stomach. I don't have to eat everything that's on my plate. I know your mom told you that. But that's why some of our people suffer. You know? Eat everything that's on your plate and be happy about it. But I've learned now that I listen. When my stomach says I'm full, even though it's, you know, maybe chocolate cake or some really nice prime rib or some, I'm not trying to make you hungry. Let's concentrate. Let's focus here. But it means, when it says supply in this scripture, it means to make full, to complete. So you lack nothing. Amen. That you lack nothing. You can tell the Philadelphian church, the Philippian church here, they were willing to give to Paul even in their situation. So God, through Paul, said, I'm going to supply your need. I'm looking for God to supply my need because you know what I am? If you're blessed, you're blessed to be what? A blessing. It's not for you to take everything God gives you and try and hog it. That's not how it works. You should be a flow. Because we see that in the parable of the talents, it's the one that did something with it got more. The one that tried to say, well, I'm just going to keep this for myself, he lost what he had. But when you're willing to give, God is going to say, I can use that person. They're going to be a conduit. See, I have no money, but a lot of money flows through me. It's not my money, but it flows through me because I don't keep it. Amen. So that word supply means to abound, to be complete. The other word is need. God will supply your need. Let's look at what the scripture says here. To fill to the top so that nothing shall be wanting. To full measure, fill to the brim. That means you can't get any more. God will give you everything that you really need and no more. We see the example, and I've got it spelled out a little bit later. When they were in the wilderness and they were crying for starvation, God said, you know what? I'm going to make bread appear. I'm going to send you something called manna. And in the morning when they woke up, they found this little wafer all around the camp. And the children of Israel were told, go out and gather this wafer. And it was a golden colored wafer. And they gathered in baskets. And they were told to gather for 2 weeks supply. Day. Just for today. But some of them thought, you know what? Suppose it doesn't come tomorrow. Suppose God lets me down tomorrow. See, that's how we think. I'm going to get all I can get now. That's a lack of faith. That's a lack of trust. And I've used this example so many times. A baby doesn't say, I'm not going to drink from this breast because I'd only see two. What if I drink and then there's no more? No, the baby takes what is given and is happy. See, God said, only collect what you can eat for that day. And some of them disobeyed, so they try to get 2 days' supply. You know what happened? It rotted. Jesus told his disciple, give us this day our daily bread. I try not to pray too far ahead. Don't ask me for a 5-year plan because I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict that far ahead. All I know is, God, give me my daily bread. Supply my daily needs. That's the promise. That's the promise you can stand upon. Amen. So the word need, it means a necessity. So it's something you really need. God knows we need clothing, right? Especially in Wisconsin. It's going to be getting cold soon. God knows that you need a place to sleep, right? God knows that you need food. Here again in Philippians, Paul was explaining how he could tell them being in prison, how he could be okay. He says, I know both how to be abased. That means to humble themselves. Sometimes it's because we didn't get lobster, we're upset. Well, God, I asked you for lobster and prime rib, and all you gave me was some neck bones. Hey, were you full? Did you lick all the fingers when you were done? Well, then God supplied your need. Paul said, I know how to be abased. That means to humble myself. I know how to abound. I know how to be full. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. That's part of supply. Because when we are hungry, it makes us humble. When we next get something, we're going to take it and thank you, Jesus. Man, I don't want to wear his hand-me-downs. But after you can't find nothing, thank you, Jesus. It's just the right size. It'll work. It'll work. I can fit in this. I'll make it fit. We can open up the back a little bit. It'll work. See, sometimes God has to show us that we don't need stuff that we think we need. Paul said, I've learned how to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But God always in the end came through. Amen. So that's what the meaning of the two words are. That's why he goes on to say, I can do, verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. All right. What are some needs? Name me some needs. I've said three of them already. Food, right? We need food. Name me some needs. Shelter, we said that one. Clothing, all right. We got three. Name me some other needs. Well, sustenance kind of food, but sustenance, health. Name me some other needs. Okay. Brian? Job, okay. Means of obtaining shelter, food, and clothing. You said wisdom. Need God in our life, okay? See, that's a need a lot of people don't even realize. See, we may have a need that we don't even know about. See, sometimes these people, they go to the doctor and they've been having a pain for months, and they refuse to either come to church and get it prayed for or go to the doctor, and they find out that they had a need that they didn't know about. Okay, so here's some of the needs. And you can divide needs up into two categories. So I'm going to give you physical needs first. We said food, top of the line. But there's something about before food that you need. How long can you go without food? Oh, some people said a day. You can only go a day? Come on now. You can easily go 3 days. You're not going to. There's people that go 7 days easily. There have been people that go 7 days. And in the Bible, Moses went 40 days. Jesus went 40 days. Of course, that's supernatural now. But there have been people in prison who go on hunger strikes that have lasted 30, 40 days without food. But there's something that you need. You couldn't last normal water, right? So you can't really go more than about 4 or 5 days without water. But there's something even above water that you can't go. Air, breath. Breath. Blood, yes. But yes. But air is what gets into the blood. So you try holding your breath and see how long you can go without that. Amen. These are all physical needs. So we need food. We need shelter. We need clothing. We need health. And there's many others that you said. But there are also another category of needs that are outside the physical. One of them was said, spiritual needs. And this is the one that people don't realize. They think all they have to do is satisfy the flesh and they're okay. But that's not true. If we could see ourselves in the spiritual, maybe some of us would be really thin. We need to fatten our soul up. We need to get it covered with the Holy Spirit. We need the same things in the spiritual that we need in the physical. Because you're not just a physical being. You have a soul. There is a part of you that also needs feeding. And it isn't fed by steak dinners. It's not clothed by this stuff. We see that in the Bible when Adam and Eve sinned, they made themselves a covering. They made some shelter and they went and hid under a bush. So they had the shelter and the covering, but it still didn't fix the need for the soul. There was a need that they still had that wasn't fixed until God made them a covering. There was a blood sacrifice that was needed, not only for the outside, but there is a need on the inside. There's a need on the inside. So there are spiritual needs. Name me some spiritual needs. One of them was said. Obedience. Okay, but you said a spiritual need. Someone said a spiritual need. Love. Love is not food. It's not shelter, but it's a need. We were designed that we need love. Did you know that? Babies that don't get love turn into really terrible people. Animals that are not given love turn into wild, horrible beasts. We need love. Name me another spiritual need. Something that is not food, shelter, physical. Okay. Companionship. We need friends. We need friends. There's a whole bunch of spiritual needs. How often do we pray for the spiritual needs? We pray for the food. Lord, I need a job. Yes, God, we know we need a job. But do we give the same prayer to the spiritual needs? We need a purpose. We need a purpose in life. If life has no purpose, then what are you doing? Why do we exist? Amen. And I put a bunch of other things. We need rest. We need to feel safe. Right? There are physical needs and there are spiritual needs. But here's the promise. God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, right? So God will supply both the physical and the spiritual. And to be honest with you, the most important one is the spiritual. Because it's your soul that is eternal. It's your soul that's going to keep going after this body ceases to be. So you better have shelter for your soul. You better have been feeding your soul. You better have a place of rest for your soul. Just as how we think about these other things, we need those things. Let's look at these things now in detail, one by one, the need for food. And we have several examples in the Bible. Matthew 14:14. Jesus was preaching to this huge crowd. The Bible says there were 5,000 men besides women and children. So there could have been 15,000 people, and they were way out of town. They were in a desert place and they were getting hungry. Now remember, God has promised to supply the need. They didn't have to come and ask him about food. He knew they were hungry before anyone asked. In fact, it was him that said, it's time to feed these people. See, God knows your need. So you say, well, why do I have to ask? Because he wants us to show humility. Because he's not a bully. He's not going to force himself on you. You have to request it. You know, it's like a little child trying to open something. They can't open it. And you want to help them. And they're struggling with it. But you want them to come and ask you. And you could do it in like 10 seconds. And they get frustrated and they finally give it to you. And you solve the problem. See, God wants us to come to him with the problem. And these people were hungry. And he knew that. Nobody came and asked him. God knows right now what you need. In fact, he knows more about what you need than you know. Because you only know the physical. He knows exactly what you need for the spiritual as well. And we see this example. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. He knew they were hungry. He knew they were tired. He knew there was no way that they could stay there that long without eating or food. The Bible says he was moved with compassion. We are not worshiping a God that has no mercy, that has no compassion. He understands exactly what you're going through. In fact, that's why he became a man. The Bible said so that he was in all points tempted. He was hungry. The Bible says so. He was hungry. There was times when he was tired. When he went by the well, the Bible says that he was weary in the journey. He had to sit down on the well. He understands when you're tired. He knew that they were hungry, and he had compassion, moved with compassion towards them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Hey, you better send them away so they can get food. That's kind of what I felt last night. You calling me at 10 o'clock and I haven't seen you for months? That they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Listen, if you are with Jesus, you don't need to go anywhere else to get your needs supplied. Don't look to the government. Don't look anywhere else. Don't look. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So Jesus said unto them, they don't need to depart. Give ye them to eat. Now he was also testing them, because he knew they didn't have any food. It was a test to see if they knew where their supply really comes from. Do you know where your supply comes from? It's not my job. It's not my job, because I got my job because of God. He engineered it. I can tell you absolutely he did it. He did it. And he's the one keeping me in the job. And when it's time for me to leave, he will redirect my path. He was testing them. Give them something to eat. He was seeing if they would now come back and say, but Lord, we don't have anything. You see, he knows it is written that man shall not live by just the physical, but by every word that comes from the throne of God. And you know the story that the little boy said, I've got two loaves and five small fishes. And just that little gift was enough to feed the 5,000. See, he supplied the need. God will supply. He always supplies the need. He always supplies the need for food. God knows when we need food. Now, most of us, I'm sure, could go a day and we'd be all right. I know I could. Now, I'm not casting any stones, right? Some of us have medical conditions where you need to keep the insulin and all of that at. I'm not talking about that. But when we are in a need, when we open the cupboard and it's bare, he's going to supply the need. We have the story of Elijah, who was by the brook. And God sent a raven, and I preached upon that, right? About the raven, how God took an unclean bird. God will use your enemy to feed you. The raven was an unclean bird, yet that was the, he could have chosen some other, you know, clean bird, but God was trying to make a point. He can make your enemies bless you. And then God sent the prophet to a widow woman who was on her last cruse of oil and her last little meal. What did she do with it? She gave it to the prophet. And the Bible said from that day on, her barrel was never empty. Now, maybe it was never full, but every morning she went in there, man, I can make another dinner. There's still one more little pork chop in there I can cook today. Every day she went to her cupboard, God resupplied it. The Bible says new every day are his mercies. Maybe it wasn't stocked for a month, but every day she came, the Bible says that her barrel of meal never went empty for 3.5 years of the famine, and her oil never ran out. God supplies the needs. I can tell you, God has supplied the needs so many times. Amen. Amen. It's when you're not looking for it for just yourself, when you're not thinking, okay, now he supplied the need. There have been so many people that we have baptized that they think going down in the water is a magic charm. They think just going down in the water, okay, now I'm okay. Now I can do anything I want and it'd be okay. No. You have to continue to walk. God will supply the need of your grace, but you need to continue to walk. So God supplied the need. And we talked about this already with Moses in the desert, how the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and they had gone into the desert and they started to run out of food. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Sometimes when things start to get hard, we start to rethink. Wonder if that was a good decision to come to Rehoboth. Maybe if I was at this other church, they could really help me. Maybe if I was at this other church, I'd find a man. Maybe if I was at this other church, you know, brought us into the desert to die. Boy, in Egypt, we had the flesh pots, and we ate bread to the full. For he had brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. You know, God must have got so upset. You mean after all the 10 miracles I did where you saw it become dark over the Egyptians and still light on you, after you saw my mighty power where I parted a Red Sea, you don't believe I can feed you? Who has had a miracle in their life? Okay, he can do more. He hasn't run out. You didn't get the last one. His miracle store is not empty. The Bible says his hand is not short, nor is here that he can't hear you. We prayed this morning for some hard things, but God does not run out of miracles. He said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven. I'm going to rain so much bread, they're going to be sick of it. And then they started complaining, well, the bread's okay, but we want some meat. We're tired of the bread now. So God made it rain birds, quail, till they were sick of that too. See, God does not have any lack. He has no shortage. If you've had one miracle, you can have another. Amen. You can have another. So he provided for that need, and he has promised that he would feed us. In the Psalms 23 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That whole thing is about a feast. He's going to prepare a table. That's not like one plate, a table. A table. You know, many years ago, many, many years ago, I was a child. My father had a house where he had rented it out to some Chinese students. And one of them was getting married. This was in the 60s. And so he invited our family to their wedding. So they had rented out, the father was a very rich Chinese gentleman, and he'd rented out this very, very elegant restaurant, very expensive restaurant for the wedding meal. And we went in, and it was a 14-course meal. 14 courses. So they kept on bringing the first course, and it just kept on, you'd eat a little bit, well, I didn't know not to eat a lot, and they just kept on bringing more plates. They cleared all of that away, and then the next course. So there was soups, there was fish, it just kept 14 courses. Thou hast prepared a table. God has got bigger than that for you. He can feed you in a desert place. Amen. He can make food fall from heaven. He can fulfill all the things that you need for life. The Bible says that he has given us all that is necessary for life. Amen. He says, I will rain bread from heaven. So in the morning they went out and there was food lying around. All they had to do was pick it up. That's all they had to do. That's a promise from God that he's going to feed you. He is going to look after you. The need for shelter. Amen. Psalms 27 verse 5. For in the time of trouble. You know when you need shelter? When there's some trouble. Like it wouldn't have been good to be out in the thunderstorm at night. You need a shelter. For in the time of trouble. Here's a promise. He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. God has said this in John 14. I've been quoting it a lot lately. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Because what? In my Father's house are many mansions. And I'm going away to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may. He has promised us shelter. He has promised us shelter. Now, it may not be a mansion. For many years, we lived next door. We had no kitchen. There was no sheetrock on the walls. It was just the studs. The floor felt like it might fall through at any time. Right? And a whole bunch of other things. I'm not complaining. But like Paul, I learned to be content. You know, at night, in the summer, the drunks would go by and usually stop right in front of the house to fight and to do what their stuff. And you'd hear all the bullets and the sirens. But you know what? Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. God supplied the need. I was able to sleep quite peacefully. I liked that house. Now, I don't know if you remember, a few years later, a friend of mine, in fact, my best friend came from England, and he was the best man at my wedding. And he came in the house, and he said to me, "You have got to get your wife a kitchen." See, I was quite content. She was cooking on hot plates, and he said to me, "Brother Mike, you have got to get your wife a kitchen." Well, God has given us a kitchen. Isaiah 4:6, "And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge." You see, in the desert, you know what God provided? A cloud to cover them. When it got too hot, that supernatural cloud followed them and led them in the desert. The Holy Spirit overshadowed them, and at night they were warmed by a pillar of fire. God will supply shelter for you. He will. Now, it may not be a gold-plated mansion. It may not be like Donald Trump's plane where everything is gold-plated. That's not a need. As long as you can get clean water, have a shower, and somewhere to sleep. Amen? Let me tell you something. Jacob was running away from his brother. And he ran out into the wilderness. And he got a rock for a pillar. And he lay down to sleep. And God gave him a vision. And he saw this ladder reaching all the way up to heaven. And on the top he saw one standing. And the angels of God ascending and descending. When he woke up in the morning, you know what he called the place? Bethel, the house of God. Wherever you are and where Jesus is, that's the house of God. Amen. Where he was sleeping, just on a rock, he said it was the house of God. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. He has promised us shelter. Isaiah 26:20. "Come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be past." Now, that scripture is actually a prophecy. It's a promise. He is going to take us out of this place very soon. because his wrath, his indignation is about to be poured forth upon this world. And there's going to be a time on this planet such as never was. But he has promised us a shelter in the time of storm. Amen. The promise of clothing. Jesus was talking to his disciples and he pointed out something. Now Solomon, the Bible says, was the richest man that ever lived. I calculated it one time from the Hebrew weights. And it turns out he received 25 tons of gold every year. That's how much gold he got every year. It gives it in shekels, but I looked up the conversion and I worked out that Solomon received 25 tons of gold every year. Now, gold right now is about $1,100 an ounce. How many ounces in a pound? Okay, he received 25. How many pounds in a ton? 2,000. And he got 25 tons a year. The Bible said that they threw away silver like we throw away paper plates. Silver was like, now we can't eat off of that. It's not even worth cleaning it. He had so much riches, and he had clothing probably sewn with gold thread. But you know what Jesus said? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. I tell you what, if you have the blessing of God, you do not have to worry. God is going to provide for you. He provided for me. When I first, about a year or two after I took over here, God provided about 30 suits. I had to give away half of them. I haven't had to buy a suit in like a long, long time. He clothed me. Amen. And this person didn't buy cheap clothing. It was all Hugo Boss and Armani. I don't even know how you say it. Because you see, I don't even wear a suit much anyway. I don't even like them. But God provided. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he not clothe you? Amen. Amen. Most of you women, when you go in your closet, like, shall I wear the blue ones, the blue striped ones, the red ones, the gold ones? In fact, you have to give them away. Now, let's be truthful here. Most of you women, when you open your closet, it's not like a lack. It's like, man, I can't squeeze another thing in here. But there you are, down at the Goodwill, getting another one. New every morning. I put that little plaque up there that says, worrying never changes anything. Jesus was saying, listen, you don't know the number of hairs on your head, and yet God knows that. He knows what you need. He knows when you're hungry. He knows when you're sad. He is wanting to see what you're going to do in that situation. It's a test. You know when they're going to have a tornado or a storm, you hear that loud noise. It's a test. Relax. He's just testing you. Now, if you've been through the drill, you know, okay, I lost my job. Okay, this is a test. I'm going to still trust you, Lord. I'm still going to come to church. I'm still going to lift up my hand. I'm still going to worship. I was absolutely confident my son was going to get another job and that it was going to be better because I know his faithfulness. I know his giving to God. He's not here, so I can say this. Do you know his giving never changed? Did you know that? His giving never changed even though he didn't have a job. So I absolutely knew the promise was going to come through. The promise was going to, because God is a person that cannot lie. And he has never, ever failed me. Never. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? I was listening to a National Geographic program, and it was in this program, they were showing this, I think it was an otter. And it was swimming in the river. And there was ice all over. And it was must be minus something. And this otter was just there swimming quite happily. It had learned to eat what they call sea urchins. And the way it eats the sea urchins, you can't just eat them because it's full of spines. So this otter had learned, or all these otters had learned how to get rid of the spines. So what they do is they go and they get the sea urchin, they put it on their stomach, and then they get a rock. And it was beating off the spines. But the thing that hit me was they were saying that the fur of the sea otter is the densest fur that man knows. That means it's got more hair on the sea otter in 1 inch than people have on their whole head. That's what they said. There's more hair, more fine hairs in 1 inch on an otter than is on people's head. Now, that made me think. Jesus said, the very hairs of your head are numbered. That means he knows how many hairs are on that sea otter. We don't. I know when I was combing through this morning, I saw a few dropped out. I didn't even try and count them. God takes so much care of you. He knows the very hair on your head. And yet we worry and we fret. If you're a child of God, he's going to give you clothing. He is going to give you food. He is going to give you shelter. He has promised. Amen? So I knew it was just a matter of time. Now, we talked about the need for health. That's a promise too. Beloved, above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That's a promise from God too. Even as thy soul prospereth. We see in Luke 6:19, and we got to hurry. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. See, God has also promised us health. I thank God that I'm 60 years old and I've never spent a day in hospital in my whole life. That doesn't mean I haven't had stuff come against me, but I just try and do like Samson, shake it off. The Philistines be upon thee. The cold, the flu is upon thee. The arthritis. Remember a few months ago, I could not bend my finger. You remember that? And I was thinking, man, arthritis is finally, well, look at this. The Bible said when they said, Samson, the Philistines be, he just broke it off. He said they broke the things like they were like pieces of, you know, thread. That's what God has promised us to do. He says that he has promised us. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to get sick at times. The devil isn't going to try. It doesn't mean that at all. But he says, my grace is sufficient. He said that I will glory in infirmities so that when I am weak, I'm going to have his strength. That the power of Christ may rest more fully upon. That doesn't mean I'm not going to get sick. But it means that I'm not going to get sick because the devil is going to kill me. When it's my time to go, it's when the Lord says, come up here. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you. That means set you apart. Are you set apart? I'm different. The Bible says he has called us to be a peculiar people. I'm special. You are special. Now, the world may not know that. Your name is not in any magazine. It's not on the news. But you are special. You are a child of the King. You are a marked person. God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved what? Blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sister Johnny.
Praise God. I was just thinking, you know, how amazing God is. And some years ago, probably I say about 8 years ago, someone spoke some words to me that I could never get out of my spirit. And it was concerning tithing. Because at this time, I didn't really understand tithing. And I would wait until I pay all my bills and then give God what I had left. And someone spoke to me and they said, you know, they said, if you would start to pay your tithes first, they said, give God the first part. And they said, whatever you don't have left, then God will supply that. And, you know, I'm telling you, it takes faith to do it.
It does.
Because when you're thinking about, you know, you got this bill to pay and this bill to pay and this person calling you and this person calling you, you know, it took something to do that. But I got to a point where I reached that point where I would start to just give God his first. And no matter whatever I didn't have left in whoever I owed the bill to wasn't going to get it. But I realized that God always made a way.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, never in my 48 years that I would imagine that I would be blessed the way that I am.
Hasn't he blessed
God
you?
God has. He has done so much for me until I can't even tell it all. But
amen.
I tell you one thing. If you would just start to just put your trust in God. You know, I had so many clothes and so many shoes like what Pastor was talking about. I just went through my house and scraped up about 4 bags of them and gave them to this church. And I can't even remember what I gave away because I still have so much stuff now that I just want to give away so that, you know, God is going to bless me with some new stuff. I'm not worried about that. He blesses me with everything. My faith is totally in God and my trust is totally in him. And I tell people, I say, I'm in a position that where I can't lose.
Amen.
You know, no matter what the situation is. And I have a lot of people at the church, they'll ask me for this and ask me for that. And I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. Whatever you ask me for, I'm going to be willing to give it to you. Now, it's left up to you to take it or not, but I'll be willing to give it to you.
Amen. Amen. I tell you what. I don't know if there's anything much you've ever paid for because it seems like God just keeps giving you stuff free. I mean, that's been your testimony for all this year about how God just gives you stuff for free. And that is amazing. Amen. But I'm going to try and hurry. But you know, I said that God doesn't, he isn't promised to give us our wants. But I tell you what, he has promised that our joy should be full. So sometimes, just to make sure that you have joy, he'll give you something that isn't actually a need. Did you know that? He has done that for me. He's given me stuff that wasn't a need, but he just gave it to me anyway. Amen. And I'm going to show you an example in Scripture. In fact, it was his very first miracle. Anyone remember that very first miracle? Right, they wouldn't have died if they ran out of wine. But you understand that wine is symbolic of joy. He was giving, this was a marriage feast. It was going to be embarrassing if they ran out of food and they ran out of wine. So just that your joy may be full, sometimes God will just give you a bonus. Sometimes he'll just give you a bonus. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. This wedding feast is going to really go down. The joy is going to be gone. Now, they wouldn't have died without this. It was not really a need. But they did have a need for some joy, some happiness. God knows when you're down, when you're depressed. He knows, and sometimes he'll just bring something into your life that you weren't even asking for, did not request, but it brought you some joy. I hope you've had some days like that where God has just given you a blessing that you didn't even ask for. But here's the key. She says to the servants, do whatever he says. There's some obedience. There's some relationship. The reason why the miracle happened was because there was a relationship between Jesus and the person asking. See, if you want joy, then you have to have some relationship. You don't just go up to a stranger in the street. I can't just go up to Warren Buffett and say, I need $100,000. He'll say, do I know you? Do I know you? And I'll say, no. The next thing, the security guards will be taking me away. But if you have a relationship, see, if the people, the servants had said to Jesus, we need wine, he'd have said, do I know you? But who asked? His mother. There was no way he was not going to fulfill the request because there was a relationship. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Let me prove it to you. See, wine is symbolic of joy. These things have I spoken unto you, John 15:11, that your joy might remain. What things has he spoken unto us that you can ask in my name? And it shall be. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to have joy. It says, with joy shall he draw water. We should be joyful. Now, as I said before, joy doesn't mean that your circumstances right now have changed. But it's because you expect them to. Because you believe they're going to change. So you start getting happy now. It's like them contestants on them game shows, right? Come on down. What have they won? Nothing. What have they got? Nothing. But they expect something's going to happen. My name has been called. And they run down there and they're all excited. And they jump on him and want to kill the host. They're so happy. Let me tell you something. Your name has been called. Jesus has said, come on down. Do we have a right to rejoice? To clap our hands? To get happy? Now, your present circumstances may not have changed, but if your name has been called, there is a promise. These things have I spoken unto you that you might, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. The only reason Jesus turned the water into wine wasn't because they were starving. No one was going to die. But a wedding is supposed to be a happy event. And he wanted the bride and groom to have joy. That your joy. God will sometimes do things just so that you can have joy. You didn't even ask for it. But if you have that relationship, have you ever, who here is a parent? Have you ever just bought something for your kid that they never asked for? Because you want to see them, their face when you give it to them. Mom, look what you did. You bought this for me? And immediately they light up and they have, God is looking to give you something that will give you joy. That's a promise. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and he shall receive. This is a promise. This is our theme this month. That your joy might be full. Now, got to be careful what you ask for. That's the key. What are you going to ask for? See, that's the key. Solomon said, Lord, I'm too stupid to know what to ask for. Give me wisdom. Because sometimes I've asked for a lot of stuff that has really, really been bad. God gave it to me, and it taught me a lesson. I've made so many stupid mistakes by thinking this is what I wanted, and it was a mistake. I'm bringing this to an end, but there was a time when I was commuting from Michigan to here, and my wife was still living in Michigan, and I thought, I've never had a sports car. Wouldn't it be nice if she's not driving me? I'd get myself a nice little zippy sports car. So I got myself a brand new Eclipse. And I just loved when people said, what's that? Is that a Porsche? When I pulled in the gas station. When it was new, you know, and people didn't know what it was. Is that a Porsche? I like that fleshly feeling. That pride would come up in me. What a mistake. I found out that I was too old to be driving that car because it was loud. And 4 hours in that car was loud. You know, it's like those people with the Harleys and they just want to make a noise. Well, you have 4 hours of that in your ears driving between here and there. And it was small. You couldn't get more than two people in there. See, I wanted something and God gave it to me, but it wasn't a good idea. So I had to give it away. See, God wants us to ask, but we have to ask wisely. He will give you acknowledge him. That means to know him, know his mind, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If you could stand with me, we ran over a little bit of time. We didn't even get to the spiritual needs, but let me just give you one. He has promised to give us faith. Now, most of us, we have a little faith, but we don't have the faith that would move mountains yet. There was a man, his child was possessed, and his disciples could not cast out the demon, so they finally brought him to Jesus. And by now the man had got some doubts because the disciples couldn't do it. So his faith wasn't very high. But let me show you a promise. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. See, most of us, we have things we need God to do. It's not that we don't know that we want God to do it. You see, he cried out with tears. He wanted so desperately for his child to be healed. We've all got some situations we need desperately to be fixed. But our faith isn't quite there yet. But he said, Lord, I believe. Help. Fill the gap. Supply the need for the rest of this faith for this to happen. And here's a promise from God. He said, I will fill your faith. The apostles asked the same thing. Luke 17, the apostles said unto him, Lord, increase our... That means it's something we can ask God for. Instead of asking him for things, imagine if we prayed, Lord, give me more faith. Give me more faith, because the things will come. Seek ye first and his righteousness and all these other things. See, when last have we prayed and said, Lord, I want more faith? Instead of, Lord, I want a job. I want more money. I need a car. But imagine if we were to ask for the right things. Because he's also promised to supply not just the physical, but the spiritual too. Imagine if God granted you double faith. So the one or two miracles you've had this year could get to four miracles. Suppose he did 10 times the faith. Man, you'd be having a miracle a month. You'd start going up to people and say, be healed. And they'd jump up. And you'd get excited. You'd be calling me up and say, I got to give a praise report on Sunday. So maybe instead of asking God, he said, I'm going to give you what you asked for. But suppose we ask for some spiritual things. Increase my faith, Lord. Give me the faith that you talked about as a seed, like a mustard seed. What could we do with increased faith? Amen? One more spiritual need. Need for love. See, a lot of us maybe are single. And as the song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. God knows that need too. He knows you need companionship. In fact, it was his idea. He said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man or the woman should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Proverbs 18:2 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, if it's from the Lord. Because you can find some things and they're not your wife or your husband. And then it's not a good thing. I'm trying to rush this. See, but even if you're in that time of life where you're waiting, here's what the scripture says. Let your conversation, that means let your lifestyle, be without covetousness. Don't be looking on what God has blessed someone else with. Because you may not handle that blessing. If God gave you that, it would crush you. And be content with such things as he has. For he has said, here's the greatest gift, the greatest promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the promise that God has given. And when I'm in trouble, even if I don't see any human person around, I can call out Jesus. I can call out Jesus. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word, for your anointing, oh God. We ask you, Lord, to help us to come to a position and a place of faith. Increase our faith this morning. Help us to ask and to pray for more faith. Father, we know, Lord God, that you will answer our prayer today because you have said that you love to give good gifts. Lord, we ask for a continued anointing. Bless our service to come. Anoint the speakers, Lord. Anoint our worship. Lord, just fill this place today with faith. Lord, give us your more promises that we will stand upon them. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give